devil's already defeated. The devil's already defeated. Devil's already defeated. Father God, we love you today. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Now, Father God, as we expound upon your word, be in our heart, minds, and soul, and give us clarity and understanding. When I open my mouth, Lord, you speak through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father God, as John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that you may increase. Rise up, King Jesus, and show yourself strong. Open up our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and open up our spirits so that your will become our will. Not our will, Lord, but your will be done in our lives. Father God, as we expound upon your word, let it be clear to us today who we are and whose we are. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we say, amen. Let the church say amen. Can the church say amen again? Amen. Come on, just give the Lord a little praise in here. Yeah. Hallelujah. We've been stuck on this topic of my body, his temple. And here we are with a part six. Part six, my body, his temple, ready for war. My body, his temple, ready for war. And so I just want to put a couple of scriptures in your spirit today so you can get a feel for where we're going. Amen. First scripture said in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, it says, do you not know? Look at somebody and say, do you not know? Look at them again and say, do you not know? Look at them one more time. Say, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Oh, somebody didn't like that Holy Ghost. Okay. Of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, who is in you, whom you have received from God. God has put something in you to help you live this Christian life. Amen. Look at somebody, tell them, you ain't by yourself. See, people need to understand that when they see you, you don't come by yourself. Sometimes I speak as if I got a whole lot of folks with me. I speak in terms like me. I know, we, us. That's how I talk. Somebody say, how you? I say, we doing good. Amen, amen, amen. We gonna handle it. And ain't nobody with me. But I know who's in me. Hello, 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 hello. Some people get scared when you start talking like that and they see you by yourself. They think you're a little off because you're speaking in terms of a whole bunch of folk, but it's just you. I know for a fact that it's not just me and the spirit in me, but there's a whole host of angels ready to be dispatched on my behalf. Open the eyes of the young man, they told God, so that he can see who's behind us. The Bible said, if God be for us, who can stand against us? You got to know who you are. Look at somebody, tell me, you ain't by yourself. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Amen. Now I'm going over to a new scripture. This next scripture I'm going to is from 1 John 4:1-6. Amen. The stand was in my way. Amen. And it says, dear friends, look at somebody and say, you the friend. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. I'm trying to help somebody right now. Because everybody has some kind of spirit in them. Whether good or bad, there is a spirit in control. The Bible says the spirits are warring with each other every day. Your fleshly spirit, hello, hello, or the Holy Spirit. So every day somebody is in charge. So when you look around this room, there's a spirit
in each one of us. The problem is that sometimes we can't tell if it's good or if it's bad, because you can dress it up all you want. You can come looking good on Sunday. Hello, hello. But what's on the inside is what God is looking at. And God is trying to help us to look past the skin. What they say, beauty is only skin deep, but ugly is to the bone. Amen. 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 Dear friend, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. Sometimes you got to check some folk who are around you. Test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. You ready? Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ have come in the flesh is from God, because everybody don't say that. Everybody cannot acknowledge that Jesus Christ have come in the flesh. Amen? Especially not the Son of God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. You talking to folks that don't like Jesus, who can't acknowledge Jesus, who have not accepted Jesus as a Lord and Savior, do not believe he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, do not believe that he is the Son of God, born by the Virgin Mary, died and rose on the third day with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. If they don't believe that, walk away. I'm trying to help somebody. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit will be the first spirit that we dive into. Maybe not today, but we will. Because there's some folk who are walking around which you have heard is coming, and even now it's already in the world. There's some Antichrist folk might be sitting in the church right now. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Overcome them. Who is the them? The them is the Satan and all his spiritual demons that's running around in the world. We're going to identify them. But the Bible declares that I have already overcome them. So therefore, I do not need to succumb to them when I've already overcome them. You got to know where your position is. Why? Why? Because the one who is where? Read the screen. The one that is where? In you. In you. Don't get it mixed up now. Don't go down too far. Some of y'all got cross-eyed for a second. You said world. No, no, no. Stay on the right line. Stay on the right line. Because the one who is where? In who? Look at somebody and say you. You. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is where? Who is in the world? Satan and his demons. So that let me know that the Jesus in me, the Holy Ghost in me, the spirit that is in me is greater than anything the world can throw at me. I'm trying to help somebody. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. You want to know why it's sometimes for you to communicate with some folk? Because they think you're on a different planet. I tell people all the time, the word of God is going to do one or two things. It's either going to draw them or drive them. You want to know who some real friends are? Just start talking about Jesus. I'm trying to help somebody. Just in the middle of the conversation, say, do you love Jesus? Just out of nowhere. Says, do you love Jesus? They look, what you mean, do I? What you mean? Where that come from? What you mean, do I love Jesus? If they start looking all contorted in the face, something wrong. Something ain't right. Amen. Because they don't know Jesus. And they don't understand why you even would say that. But if you ask me in the middle of a sitting, do you love Jesus? I say, yes, I do. Let's talk about that for a minute. Let me tell you why I love Jesus. Then you'd be like, daggone, I shouldn't have never asked Pastor why he loved Jesus. They are from the world, therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. whoever is not from God does not listen to us. That's why you got to learn to leave some people where they are. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. I want to look at verse 4. Verse number 4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." NIV, that's the NIV. King James Version says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That's the one we all know right there. Amen. The NLT Version says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won your fight with these." You have already won your fight with these false prophets, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Look at somebody and say, "You already beat the devil up." Somebody should have shouted right there, because you just got your breakthrough. You thought the devil was tracing you. No. The whole time you've already beat him up. And then I like the Message Version, which says this: "My dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won a big victory over those false teachers. For the spirit in you is far stronger than anything in the world. These people belong to the Christ dying world. They talk the world's language and the world eats it up. But we come from God and belong to God. Anyone who knows God understands us and listens. The person who has nothing to do with God will, of course, not listen to us. This is another test for telling the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception." Look at somebody and say, you getting ready to get trained. That's why I want to talk about my body, his temple, ready for war. Amen. Look at somebody and say, "Ready for war." I'm trying to help somebody. You might think this is something facetious and think it ain't real, but the battle is real. Somebody in here struggling with it right now. You've been fighting this demon ever since you woke up this morning, and you still don't understand why you keep going through the same old stuff you're going through, in and out of the same old places, doing the same old things with the same old folks, doing it all the same old way, and yet you're trying to figure out, how do I get off this crazy cycle? But it has not clicked in your brain yet that this body belongs to God, and you got to be ready for the battle that's going on the inside. Paul said, "The good I will do, that I don't do, and that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing." What can help this old wretched body of mine? Thanks be to God Almighty, for Jesus Christ, his Son, has come, who has already conquered the devil, and we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who have given us the strength. He's still bound. That's okay. We're going to help you out. Because we understand a soldier. Before a soldier can be allowed to be an active member of the armed forces, he or she must undergo some training. And I believe why the devil's running so rampant in the church is because there's been no training. Or we join the church, but there's been no training. We sing in the choir, but there's been no training. We are deacons, but there's been no training. We're usher boys, there's been no training. Some of you even been preachers, and there's been no training. And yet the devil just run wild in the church, because we have not been trained to either recognize him or to see him for who he is. In the armed forces, they must undergo physical training, mental training, to prepare them to defend this country. In other words, they must be physically and mentally fit for war. They must know the chain of command, how to follow orders without question. Can I say that again? how to follow orders without question. Why is it that we can follow orders everywhere else except in the church? We ask somebody to do something in the church, first thing out of your mouth is, why? But if you're in the military, I dare you to tell the sergeant why. Court martial. I got some Marines sitting right over there. Amen. They know. So we have to clearly understand this is something that's hard for all of us. We must learn the rules and procedures for daily activities and special occasions. The new recruits are disciplined to get up at different times in the early parts of the morning, go without food and water during certain times of training, and even go through survival endurance training. They would drop some of these guys off, depending on what they're into. They'll drop you off in the middle of the woods with nothing and see if you can survive. They are taught how to use the weapons of war, such as an M16 rifle, explosive, grenades, and other sophisticated devices. They are also trained in map reading and using a compass to find their way out of unknown territory. All of this is necessary for getting the new recruits ready for war. But when we look at the spiritual realm of war, we're dealing with totally different weapons, different strategies and belief. But one thing is definitely the same. We must prepare ourselves to deal with the enemy. Look at somebody and tell them the enemy ain't going nowhere. How? How can we fight when we don't know who or what we are fighting against? Or how can we fight when we don't understand the enemy's strategies, his maneuvers, his devices, his schemes, and his tactics? We don't even know what weapons we got at our disposal and how to use them. First of all, know this. Know that the enemy is the devil. If you don't know nothing else before you leave here today, take a snapshot of this. Snapchat it, whatever you need to do, tweet it to your friends, put it out on Facebook, because first of all, know that the enemy is the devil. In Hebrew language, they call him Satan. In the Greek language, he's called Diabolos. And he is also called Lucifer. And some of y'all be watching the show. Not knowing you watching the devil himself. You just think it's entertainment. And the devil just put him on out. He put himself on out there. Name the show after his name. Lucifer. And some, oh, I need to watch that. The devil ain't scared no more. He's going after the juggler. He's going after the kill. He's going after the get your mind. He's out to kill you. Oh, it's a nice little pretty show. It don't mean no harm. Yes, it does, with the word by itself, because there's power in words. And a host of other demons that he got on his side. Dr. Blanford, and I will tell y'all, I found him. He's retired, from what I can gather off of what I saw on the website. He's no longer at Christ Baptist over in Gary, Indiana. That's where he was. He retired from there, and he retired to Mesa, Arizona. And he started a new church out there. Amen. So I reached out, sent an email, told him I'm looking for him. Amen. And I need some more books, because we're getting ready to go in depth. And so Blanford taught us that there are 15 different satanic or demon spirits that want to attack us, occupy us, enter us, conquer, and invade our bodies, which are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The only one that should be living in you is the Holy Spirit. But there's some other demons who want to take in and come in like a home invasion, like I said last week, and take over your body. The spirit of Antichrist. We already just read the scripture where the Antichrist is mentioned. Those, that's anybody who don't believe in Christ or believe anything about Christ. They are the Antichrist. Then the spirit of bondage, where people feel like they bound up, can't move, can't breathe, can't do nothing because they bound. Then there's the deaf and dumb spirit. Then there's the spirit of depression, just down and depressed, can't even get out of bed. And we try to do Molof, all these other drugs and everything else when it's a spirit involved. It's not physical, it's spiritual. The spirit, the familiar spirit, where folks just like to be around because they think they know you. And they get on your last nerve. Hello, hello, hello. The spirit of divination, the spirit that tried to divide. Amen. The deceiving spirit, just deceiving. And it's got spirits. Because the deceiving spirit come more than just by himself. Then there's the spirit of infirmity, where you just think you sick all the time. You go to the doctor and the doctor say ain't nothing wrong with you. But you say something got to be, I don't feel right. It's a spirit. Right. Quit running to the doctor and come run to the church. Say, Pastor, pull it all out. Put it all up here, all up in here. Oh, y'all think I didn't say the right thing? Because the Bible said, if there's any sick among you, call the elders together and pray and anoint them with oil, and the sick shall recover. And if they committed any sins, it shall be forgiven. That's a double. That's a two for one. The spirit of whoredom. Woman after woman, man after man, don't care who you with, when you with them, just going from one to another. Amen. Sleeping around, going around, sleeping around. Somebody said, be quiet, Pastor. No, no, no. It ain't you. It's a spirit in you. Pornography. It's a spirit in you. Hello. It's a spirit of whoredom. We're going to break that down too. So you want to be here for the next few weeks. Amen. The spirit of fear. God has not given that to you. That comes straight from the devil. God said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you power and a sound mind. The lying spirit can't tell the truth to save your life. I said it last week. You look up in the sky. Everybody says blue. You say it's red. Just lie. Just lie. Just lie. Where you work at? Well, you know, I'm kind of undercover right now, you know. I'm kind of, you ain't undercover, you unemployed. No, I'm in between jobs. No, you ain't in between nothing. You got fired yesterday. Can't just tell the truth. I got fired. No, 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 no. I'm in between jobs. I chose to leave. No, you ain't chose to leave. You got a pink slip on your desk. You ain't chose nothing. And just got a lie. Just got a spirit of error. Just got a spirit that you can't do anything right. You're going to mess it up so you don't even attempt it. The perverse spirit twists everything that's right and make it wrong. The spirit of pride. Yes, I'm all that and a bag of chips. Just know I'm in the building today. Yes. Can't nobody touch this. Better recognize I'm up in the place. Y'all need me. I don't need y'all. Get out of me, get out of me, get out of me. Don't even play with that one, man. Don't even play with that one. Get out of here. Amen. Don't even play with that one. Amen. The spirit of jealousy, wanting what somebody else got. Let me help somebody right there. You ain't got to want anything anybody else got, because the same God that gave it to them can give it to you. So don't be jealous. Start praying and asking God to do something about it. Amen. But we as Christians, we have a military program that will accept any man, woman, boy, or girl that is willing to learn the word of God and be obedient to him. No one is turned away if they truly want to be trained. So I'm here today to let you know, if you want to go through this training, you need to be here. This is not a time to get scared. Matter of fact, this is a time to invite your friends and all your coworkers and anybody else who you think need to be delivered. Because we're getting ready to run all these devils up and out of here. All 15 of them getting ready to run out of this church. Because once they, read your Bible, once Jesus exposed them, they had to go. Hello, somebody. Some of them going to be in here the next couple weeks. They're going to say, Pastor, let us just go outside. Throw us in some of them dogs, them pigs outside. Don't kill us. Don't destroy us. Just let us get out of here. Amen. Amen. I know. You don't need an application to come. You don't even need to be a member of this church. But if you want to be free and delivered, hello, hello, hello. Ain't no fee you got to pay. There's no waiting list. There's no program to call on. You ain't got to call in first. You ain't got to show your driver's license. Just be in the building. Just be in the building. And you're going to get delivered for free. Shut up. Because he who the Son set free is free indeed. I'm trying to help somebody. We get ready to go into God's basic training camp. You better wear your war clothes. Don't come in here looking all pretty. Wear your fatigues. Wear your blue jeans. Wear your t-shirts. Come in here ready to learn how to be prepared for war. You come in here looking pretty, you're going to mess up something. Don't go on Saturday getting that new weave put in because you might have to shout it. You might have to just pull it off. Shut up. To stop. You got to clearly understand that when the enemy starts to get exposed, what did it do to the young boy? Before he left, he jerked him, put him in convulsions, made him act all kinds of crazy. Before he left, some of y'all going to act strange in the next few weeks. It's okay. I know what's going on. The devil trying to get out. So if you go shaking and jerking and everything, I'm going to say leave them alone because the devil trying to get out. So go through your Rolodex. Go through your contacts. Send everybody a text. Be at church next week to get free from whatever's ailing you. In this training camp, we first must know whom we serve. We serve Jesus Christ himself. He is the commander in chief. He is the one who prepares us for battle. He is the one who wins the battle through us. Not us winning the battle on our own. You can't win by yourself. You can't do it on your own. I'm trying to help somebody. You need the help of the Holy Ghost on the inside to help you on the outside. So don't become a casualty or a tragedy of this war, but be a warrior ready for battle. Tell somebody get ready. Tell them get ready. Don't be a casualty or a tragedy of this, but be a warrior ready for battle. Anybody ready for battle? Okay, I'm going to drop a bomb in here. So you say you're ready for battle. Do you even know what you got to battle with? What's your plan? What's your strategy? How do the enemy operate so that you'll know how to counteract? What are you going to do? The devil come in here and punch you straight in your face right now. What you going to do? Most of us are just shut down and cry because we don't know what we have at our disposal to return the battle. Jesus has given us an arsenal of weapons. I'm talking about spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Look at somebody and say, you ain't my problem. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to do some stuff, to the pulling down of strongholds, Some of us know that we got some strongholds on us. Some of us know we got some family, friends, and members who got strongholds on them. And we've been trying to help them. We've been pouring out money. We've been giving them stuff. We've been helping them through. We've been crying on their shoulders. We done let them cry on our shoulder. And they still ain't acting right. Because there's a stronghold that has got them bound so tight that anything we do don't help them. But if it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, folks just think folks after them. They think something's going to happen. They think it's going to go like this. They think it's going to happen like that. They think it's going to go around like this. And they start plotting and scheming on their own imagination. In reality, ain't nobody even thinking. Shut up. And every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. They think they know more than the Bible. I don't need to come to Bible study. Right there you got a problem. I don't need to study the word. Right there you got a problem. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. A workman that rightly divided the word of truth. That's why the enemy can jump on us because we don't know the word. The enemy don't jump on you because you can sing. He don't jump on you because you can play the instruments. He don't jump on you because you can preach. He jump on you because you don't know the word. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't take it to Jerry Springer. Don't take it to Maury Povich. Don't take it to divorce court. Don't take it to Judge Mathis. Take it to God and bring it under the obedience of Jesus Christ. When you put it in front of Christ, Christ's going to make it clear. Carnal, where it says our weapons are not carnal. Carnal in this sense means physical weapons like guns, knives, bombs. Satan and his demons would be quite easily to wipe out if a bullet or bomb could be used to kill them. But you can't shoot a devil. You can't bomb a devil. Hello, somebody. You're going to kill a person and become a murderer. Murder. Amen. I'm getting the devil out of them. No, you're killing them. Because our weapons are not physical weapons. It's so sad that we fail to realize this principle of 2 Corinthians 10:4. We waste so much time and effort trying to solve spiritual problems and conflicts with fleshly means. We get too wrapped up in what it looks like and we miss the cause of why it's happening. They act like this and so we try to fix the action instead of trying to go a little deeper and see what the problem really is. They acting bad. No, they ain't acting bad. There's a spirit that we need to deal with. They gossip all it. No, it ain't because now there's a spirit we got to deal with. And so therefore we want to soothe the symptom and never get to the source. If we ever get to the source. So instead of seeking the spiritual way, we resort to our own human ideals. Things we get from coworkers, and we listening to everybody else. We put our problems out on Facebook, waiting for folks to respond, and sad friends and non-Christian friends and any and everybody but God. Folk on Facebook got problems just like you. So sad folks is in messed up folks is like the Bible says, the blind leading the blind. I'm getting ready to go home. There are many weapons that God has provided for us to fight the devil and his demons with. But I'm only going to deal with four of them, and I'm going to go home. Is that all right? The word of God, effective prayer, the armor of God, and the last one will be the praise of God. You need to copy that down because you're going to need this when you leave here today. You're going to need all four of these when you leave here today. The word of God, take a picture if you got to. Snap, that way you got it. Amen. We living in a technology world. Use your technology. If you go on the website later on, a couple of days, it all will be on the website. You can go grab all every PowerPoint, every slide that I put up, it's on the website. You can go see it there. Amen. Go see it there too. Brightstarcc.org. www.brightstarcc.org. You go there, all the sermons, all the PowerPoints, everything is out there. So you can see it again if you need to. But when the devil hits you, you need to respond in one of these four ways: with the word of God, effective prayer, the armor of God, and the praise of God. Amen. Our first and foremost weapon is the word of God. It's better known as the sword of the Spirit, as Ephesians 6:17 says. A person may buy and use a Smith & Wesson revolver, a Colt 44 firearm, or any other make a weapon, but the Smith & Wesson company is best qualified to tell you about the proper use and care of the gun that they make. The Colt company that makes the 44 caliber pistol is the best qualified to also tell you how to use and care for the gun that they manufacture. Y'all ready? Check this out. The word of God belongs to the Holy Spirit that is within us. And it is his word. We have permission to use it. It is his sword, and we have permission to use it, but it is the Spirit's weapon. Stay with me. Stay with me. Therefore, since it belongs to the Holy Spirit, and it's one of the weapons of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is best qualified to show us on how and when to use it. The Holy Spirit is our drill instructor. He'll tell you when to cut somebody with the word. Because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut you going and coming. Sometimes the Holy Spirit don't want you to cut them all the way through. Sometimes he might want you to use a precision cut just to cut something out. Amen. He didn't mean for you to cut them in half. He just meant for you to just snip it. Amen. Not slice and dice it, just snip it. But we need the Holy Spirit to tell us how to use the word of God at the right time, at the proper time, so that we don't hurt somebody to the core. Right. Some of us are so religious that we hurt people with the word of God. In fact, the primary role of the Holy Spirit is to help prepare us for the war. That's why the Lord said, when the comforter has come, even the Spirit of truth, he shall testify of me. Amen. He shall testify of me. When the Comforter comes, when the Comforter comes, he, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth. As we look at the passage, God revealed that he has given charge to the Holy Spirit to teach us how to fight with the weapons that he has provided for us. So tell somebody, let the Holy Spirit fight through you. My second point is this: effective prayer. In order for God to listen to our requests, we must pray. How many of y'all pray? All right, tell the truth and shame the devil. If you don't pray, don't be raising your hand because everybody else got their hand raised. Amen. You become one of them lying spirits. Amen. You don't want to do that today. trying to deliver. Just tell the truth and shame the devil. You don't pray, you don't pray. But after the day, you should start. Start where you are and let God help you get better. Amen. Ain't no shame in that. Ain't no shame in that. If you ain't doing it, you ain't doing it. Amen. Amen. We must tell God what it is we need and must be specific. Check this out. I learned this. Whenever troops are pinned down in battle in enemy territory, the officer in charge uses the radio to tell the commanding officer what the situation is and specifically what is needed to correct what is going on. When they're pinned down in enemy territory, they call, we need air cover. And here's our location. See, you need to know how to read a map. You need to be able to tell them where you are. You need to tell them what you need. Your grid coordinates. Thank you. Got my military folks over there helping me out on this Veterans Day weekend. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Amen. Amen. So, amen. I meant that too. Amen. Ain't this a befitting sermon for you military brothers? They over there, they licking it up. They loving it, loving it. We gonna wait and see if Pastor make any more mistakes so we correct and call. He ain't never been in the service. I don't know where he get his information from. He should have talked to us first before he brought this message. Because we know it all. We know. Amen, amen. I feel y'all over there. That's why they sitting over there looking all pretty and everything. Because they like, we know this stuff. We know this stuff. Amen, we know this stuff. That's good, that's good, that's good. But you got to let them know your grid coordinates. Amen. So that they don't drop the bomb on you and they drop it on your, amen, on your enemy. Amen. And so therefore, we must be able to pray and tell God exactly what's going on, where we are, who it is that we're asking for help for, who it is getting on our last nerve, who it is we want God to handle and take care of, because God said vengeance is mine, not yours. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He said, cast all your cares on me. God, I'm in this battle. I need some help with what's going on in my mind. Don't be trying to get all fancy with God. Don't be trying to use all these eloquent words that you don't even know how to spell yourself. You better just be plain with God. God, I'm messed up in the head. I got stuff going on in my brain that I don't want it to be there. It got me thinking all kinds of crazy. And Lord, I know that's not of you. I need some help right now before I hurt myself or hurt somebody else, because this is not of you. In the book of James, it said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Greek word effectual is that word. Energeo. Ain't none of y'all Greek, so don't even try. Energeo, which means to be active, efficient in working supplication, to be mighty in, to be operative, to put forth power, or to produce an effect. The Greek word for fervent is zelos or zelos, which means zeal. That word. Adore. Heat or be hot or to be hot. True prayer or genuine supplication is prayer that has spiritual zeal and ardor and is effective and what? And what? That means you ain't praying these little mousy prayers. You getting right to it and letting God know what's going on. You ain't hem-hawing around all over the world talking off the side of your mouth. You talking what you know and what you need God to do. And you being very specific in what it's about. And you no longer worried about what everybody else talking about. I'm going to talk to God what I need to talk about. My third point is this, the armor of God. This is our defense against the attack of Satan. In our armor, we have six weapons at our disposal. Ephesians 6, 13 through 7 says, therefore, put on the full, tell somebody, don't be half dressed. tell them they were asleep when you told them. Nudge them this time and tell them, don't be half dressed. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil come, look at somebody and tell them that's right now. When the day of evil comes, amen, you may be able to stand what? Stand your ground. Because what God has for you is for you, and you don't let no devil come up in your face on your ground taking your stuff. Your house sit on property. Your property sit on land. That land belongs to you. Not just what's in the house, but everything the house sit on. There's some stuff that just belongs to you that is in your space. You can stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, verse 14 comes right back and says this: stand firm. Y'all remember them Weeble Wobbles? How many of y'all, I know I'm dating myself. How many of y'all remember, Tina, you too young know about Weeble Wobbles? Hey man, I need all my old folks. Steph, you borderline. Amen. Y'all same age? Okay. You know the amen, I know that. The Weeble Wobbles, it was a blow up, but you can punch it. It'll wobble to the left, wobble to the, but eventually it'll stand back up. See, that's how we supposed to act when the devil come up against you. You go ahead and let him hit you. You can sway and you can go look like them blow up things at the car dealership. You can do all that. But guess what? Your feet ain't gone nowhere because it's built on a rock. And he who built his foundation on a rock is like a man, a wise man, that when the rain and the wind and the blows on you, you don't move. I ain't going nowhere. I don't care what you try to do, devil, I ain't moving. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm only going to talk about two: the helmet of salvation and the breastplate. The helmet in the spirit world is called the helmet of salvation. Amen. The helmet was originally used to protect the head of the soldier from arrows that are shot at them, javelins that was thrown at them, heavy stones that was dropped on top of them. For the enemy knew that if he can injure or kill the head, he can get the body. Can I say that again? If he can injure or get the head, he can kill the body. Deacon Darrell, Brother Miller, y'all help them at the door. Thank you. He knew that if he can get the head, the enemy knew if they can get the head. When you look at most movies, people ain't dead until you shoot them in the head. They're not fatally dead till you hit them in the head. Amen. They can fall 100 stories. Body be all broke up, but they get up. Get them in the head, they don't get up. All your zombie movies, where you got to get them? See, y'all know. And some of us walking around like zombies. And the devil just shooting you right in the head. Putting you down. Walking around aimlessly, helplessly. Got you. Got you. Satan knows that if he can attack our minds, he can instill in us fear, lustful living, selfishness, hate, malice, homosexuality, adultery, anger, idolatry, witchcraft, drugs, worshiping people, and anything that angers God. He can have us operating like a puppet on a string. But our helmet is referred to as the hope of salvation, as in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. We also have the breastplate that is worn to protect our hearts. In the spiritual realm, it's called the breastplate of righteousness. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that protects our hearts, protects our emotions, and secure our feelings from Satan's assault. We cannot face the enemy with our own righteousness, because our own righteousness is as filthy rags. Look at somebody and tell them, you ain't right anyway. We're not. We have no righteousness in us to wrap our heart up in filthy rags and to go out to battle is like having no protection at all. The enemy tries to make issues of your flaws, your weakness, and imperfections. His goal is to try to make us feel unworthy and to appear unrighteous. Anybody ever felt unright when you come to church? You just feel like you shouldn't even be in here. Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah. The devil wants you to feel like that. If anywhere you need to be is right here. I don't care what you did last night. The place you need to be is right here. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad you're here. Tell them, I don't know what's going on with you, but I'm glad you're here. Hey, amen. Amen. But I'm glad you're here. We have to understand that we're not able to stand in the battle by ourselves. Amen. If he can wound our heart, we become depressed and emotionally paralyzed. We'll not be able to stand. So we also have the praise of God in our arsenal. Look at somebody and say, get ready to praise him. The original Hebrew word for praise is hala and yoda. Hala means to show, to boast, or to celebrate, and to bring glory in. It is the source of hallelujah, which is a Hebrew expression of praise, which is found more than 160 times in the Old Testament. Yoda, which means to give thanks and praise, is a verb that is important to the language of worship. And it's found 120 times in the Old Testament. We are to thank him every chance we get for not letting us be consumed by the adversary. We should thank him every chance we get for letting there be food on our table. We should thank him every chance we get for having health in our bodies. I'm trying to help somebody. We are to thank him every chance we get for being in our right minds. Yoda is the kind of praise that is a weapon against our spiritual enemy. There will be times in our lives that we will have to stand face to face with the enemy. Anybody been there? I mean face to face, nose to nose. The devil like right here, all in your space. And that's when you got to resort to a yada praise, to defend yourself. Anybody just praise God just to get out of your situation? I ain't playing right now. You had to just go into a, it was so bad that you had to just go into a praise. Huh? It was so bad that you didn't even know how to fight. But all you knew how to do was say, Jesus. I'm going to go home. All you could say is, help me, Lord. Anybody ever been there? You didn't even, your situation was so bad that you didn't even know what to pray for or even how to pray, but you did know how to say hallelujah. But I got anybody in the building. Hello, 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 hello. You had to get to a praise just to get out of your situation. I don't know about you. You may not believe me, but if you look in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 21, Jehoshaphat appointed some praise and worship folk to get in front of the army. He didn't put the army out first. He put the praise and worshipers out first. And it's with this act that they went out singing praises unto God. They gave thanks to the Lord for his love endureth forever. They started singing continuously in their praise. God set ambushes against the invading Ammonites, the Moabs, and Mount Seir, and all of them killed each other. And the army of Jehoshaphat didn't even have to fight. I'm telling you, if you ever just get a praise out, the enemy can't do you no harm. If you can just get a praise out, the enemy will start destroying himself. Let me wrap it up. Let me go home. We sometimes have to use the name of God to fight our battles. When I need God to provide a way out, I call him Jehovah Jireh. When I need to have the blood of Jesus on me as a banner, I call on Jehovah Nissi. When I need peace of mind, I call on Jehovah Shalom. When I need the Lord to provide righteousness, I call Jehovah Siskanu. When I need the Lord to be there, I call Jehovah Shammah. And when I need God Almighty, I call on Jehovah El Shaddai. Can I just get one witness in the place? And if I go on and say that he is God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, he is the great I am. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, I am that I am. I am the God of deliverance. I am the God of the Most High. I'm shelter in a time of storm. I'm bridge over troubled water. I am he who is able to do more than you can imagine or think. I'm a strong tower in a time of trouble. I am the God of grace. I am the God of strength. I am the God who sustained you. I am the Redeemer of the world. I am the one that's there to bless. I am he who is able to keep you from falling. And who is he that is able to keep you from falling? He is him that woke you up this morning. He is him that put the food on your table. He is him that healed you from your sickness. He is him that did everything in your life. He is him that made your enemies stay at bay. He is him that made your money act right. He is him that made everything act right. He is him that's the one of all in your life. Look at somebody and say, he saved me. Well, listen. One day, I almost let go. But because of his grace and mercy, he saw fit to hold me and keep me. So don't give up on God, because he'll never give up on you. Somebody need to say he's able. But when you know who you are in God, you can look the devil straight in his face and say, devil, take your best shot. It ain't about me anyway. It's about the will of God. It's about the power of God. It's about the order of God. It's about the kingdom of God. Devil, I'm coming in your camp. I'm going to take back what you stole from me. Shoot your darts at me. I got my breastplate of righteousness. You can't attack my heart. I know who I am in God. I got my helmet of salvation. You can't mess with my mind. I got my mind made up. And I ain't going back. I'm going to see Jesus one day. Now, devil, I'm taking my joy back. I'm taking my children back. As a matter of fact, I ain't here for me anyway. But I'm standing in the gap for somebody else. I'm here to get my drug addicted brother. I'm here to get my whore sister. I'm here to get my drugged out daddy. I'm here to get my no good mama. I'm here to get everything that belongs to me. Give them back. Because I'm here on the authority of God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Now you and all your demons, get the heck out of my way. And for those of you that have just gotten out of the enemy camp, anything you need, God got it. If hope is what you need, God got it. If more love is what you need, if more faith is what you need, he got everything. Look at somebody and tell them, God got it. Tell them again, God got it. Tell them one more time, God got it. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise.
Listen. I don't know where you are in your life right now. But God got you. God got you. He know everything about you. He knows right here and right now what it is you stand in the need of. Hallelujah.